of the San Luis Obispo Planning Commission for November 19th to order. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Ortiz Legg is walking in.
There we go.
Commissioner Moltari.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
Commissioner Brown. And Chairman Harrison.
Here.
Please let the record show that Commissioner Brown is not present.
Yeah. All right, will we all stand and pledge allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Planning staff updates.
Good morning, Commissioners. Rob Fitzroy, Deputy Director of Planning and Building.
A public comment. Mm-hmm.
So we'd just like to first start off by thanking the Commission for all their work thus far. We know it's been a lot to get through, and today we're getting close. And so hopefully today we can wrap it up to make the December 11th Board of Supervisors date. However, if your Commission does need more time, that's not a problem. We can reschedule the board meeting if we need to. So it is our intent to try and work through the remaining outstanding items today, and Megan will leave off, start up where we left off last time. There's one just logistical item that I wanted to confirm with the Commission for the public's benefit and for staff's benefit just regarding lunch. Since we are starting at 11, what your Commission's prerogative would be on setting lunch a time, if at all, for a break. And that's all I have for now.
Do you have any suggestions, Commission?
Why don't we see where we're at by noon or 12:30, and let's try to wrap it up before, not take a lunch break if we can help.
That's what I'd like to do, but if we start running late, it looks like around 12:31, yeah, we're not going to finish, then we'll take a break.
Sounds good.
Also, I think we do need to do at least open it for public comment.
I'm going
before.
For.
Okay.
And the next thing I have is, if we're finished with that.
Yes.
Public comment. Anyone in the public that would like to speak about on any item, not on the agenda today, can come to the podium and state your name and fill out one of those forms, and you have 3 minutes. I do not have a request to speak, and seeing none, I am going to close it to public comment, bring it back to the board. Would you please introduce the item, please?
A continued request by the County of San Luis Obispo to consider amendments to the Land Use Ordinance Title 22. County file number LRP 2018-00004 and 00005. A supervisorial district, all districts, and project manager Megan Martin.
All right, thank you, Supervising Planner Megan Martin, for planning and building. So above you on our screen, you'll see where we last left off. We had a discussion as of last Friday on whether or not the language that we included for screening and fencing would also provide for the functional equivalent of fencing for security. And so I just wanted to reintroduce what this topic included. And ultimately it was that we allow for substitution with this first phase of amendments to modify fencing and screening requirements to no longer allow fencing and screening if there are unique circumstances with the site, if, for example, topography or landscaping provides a functional equivalent of fencing and screening for security. And so we wanted to offer that same substitution for outdoor outdoor cultivation as well as for indoor. And so the language that we have here suggests that this requirement, so fencing shall be constructed of durable materials for security purposes. So we have this requirement may be waived or modified as specified below where the proposed landscape features such as terrain and vegetation provide the functional equivalent of fencing for security. So in other words, treacherous terrain, for example, if it seems like it could potentially end in public harm or welfare of the applicant to install the fencing to protect the outdoor cultivation or to secure the outdoor cultivation, that they may be able to provide that justification for us to modify that requirement. But again, the terrain and or vegetation that exists would have to provide, again, the functional equivalent of fencing for security. So I just wanted to point out that that language is included in there, and if your commission is okay with that, we can continue moving on unless you'd like further discussion.
Do you have any comments? Let's move on.
Okay. So the next item that we come to is the outdoor lighting requirement. So outdoor lighting shall be used for the purpose of illumination and is subject to the provisions of the Inland Land Use Ordinance sections related to outdoor lighting. And we added one phrase to the beginning of this next statement, which is outdoor lighting shall not be located within the canopy area. And we identified that that additional language needed to be included so as to be consistent with state requirements. Ultimately, the intent of having this section in our ordinance is such that the intended use of outdoor lighting cannot be used to manipulate plant growth for any type of use for outdoor lighting.
Does anyone have any comments on this item? Seeing none?
Okay. So there were no other changes within, I'm scrolling too fast, I apologize. So there are specific findings, finding related to the location modifications we discussed already, requiring the 600-foot location standard from libraries, parks, playgrounds, recreation centers, where it can be shown that it's unnecessary or ineffective.
Why did we reduce that to 600 feet from 1,000?
From 1,000?
Yeah.
So to be consistent with state requirements. But only through a minor, conditional use permit can it be less than 600.
Okay.
So also adding the fencing and screening modification. So as I just discussed two subjects ago, so specific conditions of the site make the required fencing or screening for either indoor cultivation or outdoor cultivation unnecessary or ineffective. Cannabis nurseries, there's no change except for minor terms, as well as adding again that 600 foot, going less than the 600 foot requirement using a conditional use permit. The setbacks, this we discussed previously for cultivation at our November 16th date, where you must be set back at least 50 feet from the riparian vegetation. That has not changed, but we have added 100 feet from any wetland. Screening and fencing remains the same and is consistent with that above. Outdoor lighting, again, consistent with that above, as we have already discussed. Location modification. And next we get into processing, cannabis processing facilities, which is probably going to take up a majority of our time here this morning. There are certain limitations on use, of which probably one of the things that your commission may want to focus a little bit of time on is that staff's recommendation is that if establishing a cannabis processing facility in either the agricultural or rural lands land use category, staff is recommending that we only allow applicants to vertically integrate with cannabis cultivation. And the intent of this is to not allow for multiple facilities to be located on ag or rural land categories. So, for example, a cannabis processing facility, distribution facility, and manufacturing facility all taking up agricultural land, and instead vertically integrating with cannabis cultivation only. But I think that that warrants some discussion if you have any questions.
Just a real quick one. Could you explain, I think I know what vertical integration means, but how is vertical integration different from ancillary?
Sure. Vertical integration is different and separate from ancillary in that if you want to have more than one standalone cannabis land use activity on your property, so for example, cannabis cultivation and cannabis processing facility, you would be required to vertically integrate and you would apply for a conditional use permit. Ancillary would be something that is supporting your primary cannabis activity on your site. So, for example, cannabis processing ancillary to your cultivation. So being able to dry, cure, trim, store, package on your property where the cultivation is occurring.
There's an awful thin line between the two.
Well, did you want to answer? Sure.
Gladly try to add, Mr. Chairman, Jay Johnson, planning staff. I think the key distinction I'd add to what Megan was describing would be ancillary is for your product. If you vertically integrate and you are a processor that's not ancillary, you can bring other people's product onto your site. And so that's the distinction, particularly for the ag and rural lands categories.
And then if it is vertically integrated, I'm sorry. I was going to say, if it's vertically integrated, it needs a CUP.
Correct.
Okay.
Any vertical integration is required by conditional use permit.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
I'm just going to note that, therefore, thank you, therefore, limiting the take of good agriculture land, in a sense, if we have more things in one facility. Okay, good.
Correct.
Thank you.
So explain again, vertical integrated with cannabis cultivation only.
As it relates to cannabis processing facilities?
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to establish cannabis processing facilities as a sole use on your property, you may do so. If you would like to add an additional cannabis activity on your property along with the cannabis processing facility, you may only do so with cannabis cultivation through a conditional use permit.
Okay, except as ancillary to that cultivation, which is allowed by the other section.
But not for the processing of other people's product.
Not for other people's stuff, just
so you have to be the farmer that originates the crop to vertically integrate.
For
I mean, I keep recalling agriculture lettuce, for instance. You farm the ground, you pick the lettuce, you take it to your own processing plant, have it packaged. That's vertical integration, is it not?
No. Vertical integration allows for you to have more than one cannabis activity on your site. But you must apply for a conditional use permit in order to vertically integrate. A cannabis processing facility, so not cannabis processing ancillary to your cultivation, but a cannabis processing facility allows for you to take product from other farmers and bring them to your site.
Okay.
If you would like to vertically integrate with another cannabis activity, as it relates to this ordinance, the only other activity that you are allowed to couple with on your site is cultivation, and it must be done through vertical integration. Does that answer your question, Commissioner Harrison?
Brian Stack with County Council's office. Another way or additional piece of information would be the number of state licenses that would be required. So if you get a state cultivation license, you can do your own processing, you can grow your own immature plants, and you won't require a separate standalone nursery or processing state license. If you want to get a standalone or an additional separate distinct state license for a processor or for nursery, then that's where the vertical integration gets triggered. So the use of vertical integration might not directly compare to how it's used in normal terms, but for the purposes of the land use ordinance, I think one of the good ways to look at it is this different state license required for the activity you're proposing. And if more than one license is being required, then that's likely vertical integration under our land use ordinance.
Okay.
I think you got that figured out.
Okay. Any other questions about this? Continue.
Okay. Any other questions related to your reading of the cannabis processing facilities section of the ordinance, or would you like me to go line by line?
I just have one general question. In item 4 on page 28, it gets back to nuisance odor. Has the county, because this has come up so often, the odor thing, I've got a stack of letters that all pretty much are worried about the odor. Has the county enforcement people gone out and checked on odor problems and monitored some of this stuff so we have a handle on whether there's an odor problem or we perceive or not?
At this point, we have only, the county has only approved 4 land use permits related to cannabis activities, 2 of which are dispensaries. 1 is an indoor cultivation site, which your commission approved about a week ago. So we haven't been able to implement this side of the monitoring program yet. We anticipate beginning that after the first of the year. However, if there are any issues in the community, we send related to nuisance odors, we send code enforcement out within the first 24 hours of receiving the notice from the neighbors. And if it's an illegal grow, it's abated hopefully immediately. If not, then they go through the CHO process, the cannabis hearing officer process.
And I totally understand all of that. So it doesn't kind of connect here that we have so much indication of an odor problem from neighbors, yet we haven't heard any results of those that have been called out to check on it. Is that correct?
Currently, they're illegal. So you're
still respond to complaints, can't they?
And they do.
Yeah,
and they do respond to complaints. And for those that we have identified in the field that are illegal, not operating under a CCM and a compliance site, we have abated those, and they are no longer growing. So that in that sense, it has been successful. But odor's tricky because it's subjective. An odor to someone is a nuisance. It may not be a nuisance to another. We respond as efficiently as we can based on the calls that are coming in.
Okay. Also on that note, so let's say, you know, for example, the one facility that we did approve a couple weeks ago, and that within this next year, the system that they have in place doesn't work, let's just say, and the hearing officer goes out and he starts, you know, listening to complaints, etc. We have it somewhere in here that says like up to 3 times and then they're shut down, or is the permit only good for a year or something like that? Do they have to come in for renewal? Something where we have to go back, you know, if there's a series of complaints that are happening and we're not getting anywhere, is there a time when they come in for renewal for that permit?
Yes, so within the ordinance, any cultivation site is required to reapply at the 5-year mark. So, for example, the application that was approved will have to come back probably around year 4 and reapply. Same permit level as of right now, same fees, and we would take a look at how it may be the performance of it, and that's based on the quarterly monitoring that we'll be conducting with the project manager and the code enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. If there have been multiple complaints and we haven't been able to correct that, that could be grounds for revocation.
Okay. But if you get complaints of odor and you go out there and can't smell anything, you can't detect anything, and you set up monitors and still don't connect anything, but you continue to get complaints.
So again, for this county, this is a brand new industry. So every day we're applying research, our code enforcement officers are applying research, getting boots on the ground, trying to determine how exactly we're going to be proactive and get ahead of this. One of the things that they have identified and that we have in the queue are actual, It's not a remote. It's an actual sensor that detects odor. But again, odor is subjective. And I'm not saying that cannabis smells are not a nuisance, because I've been in situations where they are a nuisance. I've been in situations where they are not. But it is subjective to the receiver. But we are actively looking at different mechanisms and different tools that we can use to better identify what those thresholds might be. It's just not something that we've been able to nail down yet for this county.
I guess the genesis of my comment and question was kind of based on prior situations with parties at wineries, and we have a decibel level. Mm-hmm. And we have meters that can be measured, that can measure the decibel level, go out to the property line. If it's 72, it's too high. If it's 55, it may be fine. I guess what I'm kind of coming up, do we have the same kind of thing for odor for this?
No, that does not exist. And in that same vein, the same can be said with the decibel level. At 55 decibels at the property line, someone might still find that a nuisance.
Sure, I understand.
So
that,
regardless of how we put a measurement onto it, right now it's complaint-based. If we get a complaint, that is a legitimate complaint. We will investigate and we will act appropriately. If it can't be mitigated, then that's grounds for revocation.
Thank you.
But if it can't be documented that there is odor there, then is a complaint valid?
I think that's something that we'll learn in the field.
Yep. Okay. I think I was talking to Santa Cruz County, and they are also going through this process and figuring out what's real and what isn't real and how to address, particularly on the outdoor cultivation more so than the indoor.
That's a good point. That can
so I think, you know, hopefully industry will also be evolving with product and ways to mitigate.
And again, I think I pointed to this a couple of times on the November 16th date, but our board did direct us to kind of do the go slow approach, and that's where that setback, the for outdoor cultivation, that's where that setback kind of came into play. Let's start. We don't have a way to measure this right now. Let's start with setbacks and see if that's able to naturally mitigate the issue. And if it's not, then we come back to the drawing board and we work with your commission as well as the board to identify a more appropriate standard.
I have a question about a different section of this. On under capital D, one little d, under it's the access.
Yes.
This applies only to the ag and RL zone, and I don't remember, but the facility that was approved by this commission a couple weeks ago was on a non-publicly maintained road. So would that have been ineligible for?
No, because this is cannabis processing facilities. The application that you heard two Thursdays ago was an indoor cultivation. It was not cannabis processing.
Ancillary processing.
They did have ancillary processing supporting their cultivation on site.
They would
still be eligible with this modification.
What's the rationale for limiting it on ag and RL?
Sure. Jay Johnson. The rationale is in the general plan policies for basically, if I may, the rural setting of our county, and that the processing use to allow them is so that various growers can have this done at one site rather than each of their own sites. And that could generate a significant amount of traffic and other activity to where less impact on that rural setting and less impact to traffic, and particularly with the dead-end road situation, to where it just makes sense if you're going to be inviting more users to come to that site to have it in a... Mm-hmm. In a better
location. I understand, but okay.
And so the other land use categories that it's allowed would be industrial,
right,
or commercial service.
But we would allow it in the ag in the rural lands zone with a vertical integration CUP. But now we're saying that you could, but not unless you are on a publicly maintained road.
This would be for processing use. That is your primary cannabis activity you're applying for, or your only, that could be the only cannabis activity you want on your rural piece of land. And so the rationale behind that is if you're going to build a building of significant size to handle multiple growers, that has traffic activity.
If you have cultivation on your site and you want to have an ag processing plant, it's this. You can still take stuff from other growers.
No,
I mean, it's just that you have stuff to grow of your own, and you have new, but you have to get a CUP.
Well, that is true. But
so
if
why wouldn't we just say, you know, why wouldn't we make it just subject to the conditional use permit? I guess it's not a big deal to me. It just strikes me as that under one way of doing it, we're going to allow it, and another way, we're not. Or that, let me say it that way. In one case, the rationale is it's going to create more traffic, but it's okay. In the other one, it's not going to create more traffic, so it's not okay. Never mind. It's not okay. It's not worth fussing about. It's not going to come up very often. So forget it. Yeah, I'm sure.
Any other comments on cannabis processing facilities?
No, and I don't know about the rest of the commissioners, but I don't have any other comments until we get to 2240090, because the rest of the stuff is just more about distance and things that we've already hassled, you know, we've already gone through. So can we skip ahead to that?
And a lot of it is redundant in the sense that we apply consistency throughout the ordinance in terms of standards.
So I guess I just have an interesting question here. Manufacturing standards under D4, and we haven't talked about this much, but I know they exist, and the public is concerned about them for sale. This limitation on cannabis edible projects, how does that fit into the, quote, ag concept of what we're talking about here? Page 30 of 53, limitation on manufacture of cannabis edible products, such as shape of animals, people, insects, fruit.
So could you clarify your question as to what you mean by how this relates to ag?
Well, it seems to me it's prohibited, and I guess that's it says what it should say, I guess, to be prohibited. So
It allows for manufacturing of edible products, but they cannot be in the shape of animals, people, insects,
or fruit. So that's what I was getting at. So that specifically is the shape it's delivered or manufactured in, but it is. But even the manufacture of edible products, are you talking from a medicinal point of view, or are you still talking from a, you know, buying Jelly Belly's point of view, which doesn't belong in ag as far as I'm concerned?
Well, I don't think that we limit the type of manufacturing of cannabis that can occur on ag land. However, we limit what can be transported to distribution facilities, to the end retailer. The intent of the limitation on the shape was requested by the Board of Supervisors, and the intent was to limit exposure to children, to the youth.
That's the ultimate point I was coming from.
But in terms of limiting the type of manufacturing that we allow in ag, we're not restricting people from what they can or cannot manufacture. It just simply cannot, well, except for non-volatile at this point in time, but it just can't be in the shape of animals, people, insects, or fruit.
Okay, I understand. I just want clarification.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a question on page 28.
Page
28. Says that you can't have a processing facility on land under the Williamson Act.
Correct.
Can you grow on land under the Williamson Act?
Yes, you can. We require that it be referred to the Agricultural Preserve Review Committee, and it needs to be considered by them, and we also coordinate closely with the Ag Commissioner's Office, but you can have cannabis cultivation on Williamson Act land.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else related to cannabis manufacturing? Okay. Cannabis testing facilities. Any questions on the minor modifications we've made related to distance, related to findings, the location? No. Nope. Cannabis dispensaries, minor modifications related to the changes?
I don't quite understand a cannabis dispensary. Who are they going to deliver to?
So they're non-retail, so it can occur, for example, the two that we've already seen come through and have been approved. So it's non-retail, so a member of the public can't go to the site to purchase. But, for example, if they establish a website, they can purchase through said website, and then they would mail said product or distribute said product to that end retail user. But there's nothing that occurs at the actual site itself where they establish the cannabis use.
And they can only sell what they grow on site?
There is nothing grown on site necessarily with the cannabis dispensary, but they could potentially vertically integrate with the cannabis cultivation. Hold on just 1 second, please. There is one land use category limitation as it exists. Cannabis dispensary in the residential, rural, and rural lands land use categories are limited to dispensing of cannabis that's grown on site. Cannabis dispensaries in the ag land use category are limited to the dispensing of cannabis that's grown on site, but not as an ancillary use. It would have to be vertically integrated. So you can establish your cannabis cultivation and with a conditional use permit also have a dispensary and non-retail.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay. And cannabis distribution facilities, any questions related to that? Okay. Cannabis transport facilities, any questions on this new cannabis activity that we've added to the ordinance?
We talked about this at some length the other day.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
So you can have cannabis transport that is ancillary to your cultivation, but this is a standalone use and can be vertically integrated with other uses.
So if you have a cannabis transport facility, mm-hmm. they can't store, they can't own, they can't do a lot of things, but they have to have a separate building for the business.
Correct.
If they can't store it, how do they get it? And they can't even store it overnight?
No.
So if they pick up something at 7:30 at night, they have to take it somewhere else and get rid of it before the nightfall.
Yes. And if they choose to store it, that is a violation of not only this ordinance, but your state licensing requirements.
To my next question, why do they need an extra building as an office or as a place for their business if they're not going to have anything there except the vehicle parked?
I will let Supervising Planner Jay Johnson or our county council respond to the second piece of this because I'm unsure, but specifically related to our ordinance, we do not allow the use of a residence for any cannabis-related activity. But if there's any additional state limitations, I would ask that someone else speak for me on that.
Sure. Brian Sack with County Council's office. Again, a requirement under state law for state licenses is a physical premise that has local jurisdiction approval. And but yet, for distributor transports, even under state law, they can't store or own. So that's a feature of state law. And how we apply it or we're proposing to apply it locally is to be in line with state law, how it works. And an additional state law-based requirement is that a residence cannot be used. So they need a physical premise. It can't be a residence, and they can't store stuff there. And so that's what we're trying to implement here. And if Jay has anything to add beyond that, but I think most of the potential confusion is state law generated.
I concur with what Brian and Megan have said. Yeah.
Okay, it just seemed strange to me, if you're going to transport it, that it's illogical. You can't store, you can't own, you can't have. You're just going to move it from one vendor to the other one. And if you're moving it 150 miles and you pick it up at 6 or 7 at night, how can you? You can't do that.
I think that each individual that pursues this type of activity should look at their business plan and ensure that that doesn't happen.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else related to cannabis transport facilities? Okay. The next piece is grounds for revocation. There really have been no changes, so we can skip to planning area standards. Okay. So Section 4 of the ordinance is Article 9 Planning Area Standards of the San Luis Obispo County Code. And after we've run through these, if it's okay with your commission, I'd also like to open up the coastal planning area standards that will be changing, just so we make sure that we don't miss anything. But all of the items that are listed in these area standards are the addition and or subtraction of redundant, so they've been repeated, so again, redundant, redundancy, or we're adding the new use types, so cannabis processing facilities, cannabis transport facilities, et cetera. And then we also, just based on human error, didn't include a piece for O'Connor Way in the San Luis Obispo sub-area, so that's been added as well. And it's just really adding the new land use activities to each of the planning area standards and making sure it's consistent across the board.
I read it to say that they couldn't have these facilities in like Heritage, South Shore. Like Nosmiel.
Do you know which page that is?
46.
Heritage. 50. Is it Heritage Ranch?
South Shore.
Oh, South Shore.
South Shore at Lake Nosmiento. It was an exception.
Correct. So all land uses listed in Section 2206.030 is allowable, permitted, or conditional. May be authorized in compliance with the land use requirements of that section, except residential care, manufacturing, and processing activities. Cannabis manufacturing, cannabis processing, correctional institutions, ag processing, etc., which are not allowed.
So it is disallowing them at that area. Okay.
Correct. For cannabis manufacturing and cannabis processing.
And then the next item. Is it just for that? They can't do cultivation on South Shore either, right? No cannabis activity. Those two sections eliminate, right? Or am I wrong?
Correct.
Okay. Why?
When those area standards were originally modified November, a year ago, the board it decided to exclude the cannabis activities in these two land use categories for South Shore for the reasons they chose to. So we're just simply coming in and adding to disallow the cannabis cultivation in the RR category, just as we would a cannabis nursery. In that particular case, on Section 2294074D1, it would have been an oversight last year to not exclude that use.
I guess I was just concerned why they eliminate South Shore, but the rest of the areas can do it.
The other planning areas?
Well, different zoning, for one thing.
Okay. That would probably... But what's the zoning of South Shore?
It has various zoning. It has rural lands.
And rural
residential. Residential rural. It probably has rec. It may have...
But if you have residential rural and rural lands in other areas of the county, they're allowed to do cannabis operations. Why was South Shore eliminated from this?
That's a good question. The South Shore was eliminated initially before cannabis, back in the day when this standard was established. That board at that time decided for these neighborhoods at South Shore to exclude certain land uses. When we wrote the ordinance initially last November before the board, we made recommendations to be consistent with that previous exclusions to exclude cannabis activities. So the board made that decision in November to for example, to exclude cannabis manufacturing from the RL category, but we didn't include we didn't also exclude cannabis processing. That wasn't a use at the time. So we went back into each of these area standards and matched what the board did back in November to the best we could this time. So for whatever reason, probably 20, 25 years ago, the Board of Supervisors limited uses in South Shore, Nacimiento, for whatever reasons. So we're just trying to be consistent with those previous decisions.
Gotcha. Okay. You don't happen to have a map that shows these areas, do you? What do you mean by South Shore?
I can bring that up for you right now.
Okay.
It's a subdivision.
If the internet works.
Well, that's a broad, that South Shore is a broad explanation. That's what I'm curious.
Let's do that. I'm just trying to bring up. Yeah. So this is so this entire area here is all considered South Shore, the highlighted yellow. Is that obvious on your screen?
I guess what I was trying to determine you mentioned 25 years or thereabouts, and I just was curious how far South Shore went, because there's a whole shopping center there now. And it eliminates, and this thing, if you go back far enough, says no grocery stores and restaurants. I was just curious.
Well, I think it would depend on what the underlying land is zoned, where that new shopping center is located. It may not be zoned residential, rural, or rural lands.
Okay, it's been commercially zoned then, okay, or something like that.
And that yellow was South Shore.
Okay. Yes. So South Shore, Nacimiento.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the place to the right of that where all the apartments are, little houses along the beach. It's okay. It's fine.
Brian Stack with County Council's office. I believe the addition of cannabis cultivation to the list of exclusions, I believe that's a cleanup item, and that was just an oversight when it was originally adopted back in December, because cannabis nurseries is identified. So I think this was a cleanup item, and we're not intending to add a new restriction, which wasn't already intended.
Okay. That makes sense.
I was just curious as to why an area that has the same zoning as other areas, they decided not to allow cannabis. And it's okay with me.
And Brian Sack with County Council's office, that this restriction may be in other planning area standards, but they had cannabis cultivation already identified, and this was just a planning area standard for whatever reason didn't have that expressly identified, so we're cleaning it up now. So it's not to say that South Shore is the only planning area that has this limitation. This is just the only one that apparently had this oversight, if that makes sense.
Well, if you look through the pages here, I guess what you're saying is true of several places that have been established a long time ago, Spanish Camp being one, Elmira Park being another one, O'Connor Way being another one. Those are all specific little areas that have been pulled out and had this added to them.
Correct. And if you look, you'll see in a lot of those cannabis cultivation was already identified back in December. And again, for whatever reason, just because of oversight, it apparently wasn't included in the text of the ordinance that was adopted by the board for South Shore Nacimiento.
Thank you.
Welcome. Okay, any other questions on any of the planning area standards that are listed throughout the rest of it? Okay.
Page 28.
Back to page 28?
Yes.
For the inland land use?
Yeah, I just have a question on page 28.
Okay. Sorry for scrolling. I hope I don't make anybody in the audience dizzy. Which item?
I didn't write it down. But you had that they couldn't do it in a the processing facility couldn't be in a high fire hazard area, and you struck that out.
Page 28 out of 53.
Yeah, I think so. Well, actually, it's 28 at the top of the page that I've got. Maybe this, oh, I know what this is. Never mind. I got it. I was looking at the wrong one.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the next section that I want to go through is the planning area standards, section 5 for coastal zone land use ordinance changes, and this begins on... Good, there's no pages. Let me update that for everybody.
New set of pages, isn't it?
Yours might. Mine does not. So I'm going to update that just really quick.
Attachment to page 46.
Page 46 of 48.
Hmm. Yeah. 46 of 48. Okay.
I believe so. So again, section 5, planning area standards found in the area plans, part 2 of the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance. So consistent with what was already described for the inland area, the same would be applied for certain areas of the coastal zone. So the Estero Area Plan, Los Osos Urban Area, and the residential suburban land use categories, the North Coast Area Plan in the rural lands, North Coast Area Plan, the Cambria Urban Area, San Luis Bay Area for ag. If there's any questions, I'm happy to go over them. No? Okay. So at this time, this concludes our review and deliberation of both the inland ordinance, its corresponding planning area standards, and the coastal zone planning area standards. We do need a little bit of time to apply the language that your commission has discussed for the inland land use to make sure that we're not missing anything for the coastal zone land use ordinance. I recommend that your commission maybe take a 10 or 15 minute break while we just make sure that each of those is consistent with one another, and then we can come back and run through them.
That's fine with me. We'll take a 10 minute break. Actually, we'll come back at noon.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Break. I'm going to call this meeting back to order. We need a couple straw votes on this.
Yes, thank you. We need a straw vote for screening and fencing, the language that we've added to allow for modification for outdoor cultivation. And we also need a straw vote on outdoor lighting and the phrase that we've added here, that outdoor lighting shall not be located within the canopy area.
Okay. Do we...
Yeah, I would suggest call for the straw vote that we approve the staff's recommendation for both of those items.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, it's unanimous.
Yep. Great. Okay. Thank you. So staff has reviewed both the inland land use ordinance and the coastal zone land use ordinance, as well as the corresponding planning area standards related to introducing the new cannabis land use activities and or limitations within each of the land use activities of the planning area standards. Staff recommends that your commission recommend to the Board of Supervisors that they adopt the notices of exemption, as well as adopt the revisions to the inland land use ordinance as revised and as voted on by your commission, as well as the modifications to the coastal zone land use ordinance and parts 1 and 2 of framework for planning for coastal zone.
Do you want separate resolution or?
That's still a straw vote.
This would be your planning commission's final recommendation to the board based on the straw votes that you've taken.
Okay, prior to that, would you like to run through all the straw votes that we made before we make the final motion?
Would you like me to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Council, do we have to open this to public hearing today's session?
It would be up to the discretion of the chairman, but public comment was already taken prior to the board's deliberation.
Okay.
Or I'll defer to staff.
Ralph Fitzroy, County Planning. So because it is another additional hearing and we did cover some additional items, it may be your commission's prerogative to open it up to allow folks in the public to comment on any of the items that were amended today in this hearing.
Now, I was going to have her run through the straw vote. Then I was going to ask for public comment, bring it back, and ask for the motions.
Sounds good.
Okay, I will go in order. So the first being Table 2-2 as well as Coastal Table O, the Table of Allowable Uses. Your commission voted unanimously in a straw vote to approve those changes. The next were the definitions in Section 2, definitions of land uses and specialized terms and phrases. Your commission individually identified and modified some of these definitions related to cannabis cultivation, related to cannabis hoop structure, as well as cannabis shade cloth structure and outdoor cultivation. And your commission, with the revisions, took a straw vote to approve all of those changes with the revisions as outlined. The next were the cannabis activities, the minor modifications, and all other lesser changes. Your commission moved to, in a straw vote, to approve all lesser and minor modifications, but specifically relating to vertical integration, you took a straw vote to approve the changes as amended by staff. For the monitoring program and the public notice requirements, your commission moved to, in a straw vote, unanimously to make the modifications as suggested by staff. For use of a residence, the same. Your commission took a straw vote to approve the changes as staff presented in the last two meetings. For cannabis cultivation, your commission took a straw vote as to whether or not the limit on the number of cannabis cultivations should be changed from operations to sites. And I am going to be honest, I don't remember if unanimously your commission voted to make that modification or if someone...
I think we had a dissension, didn't we? Not now? Okay.
Okay. So the straw vote was in favor of your commission to change operations to sites, as well as all other lesser changes for indoor and outdoor cultivation. As it relates to ancillary activities, cannabis nursery processing and transport, your commission took a straw vote to approve, but to modify cannabis nursery to allow for the self-supporting nursery canopy to be exclusive from the cannabis cultivation operation, but only up to 25% of the area approved for cannabis cultivation. So that changes before you and highlighted.
It was a 4-1 vote.
And that was a 4-1 vote, correct. With, yes, thank you. Most of these are all other lesser changes. As I already discussed, your commission took a straw vote and approved. The next one is the allowing it to go closer than 600 feet for the Library Park Playground Recreation Center through conditional use permit approval. Your planning commission took a straw vote and were in favor of that inclusion. The setbacks as it relates to wetlands, your commission took a straw vote and approved that additional language to be consistent with coastal zone requirements and coastal commission direction. For screening and fencing, as well as outdoor lighting, your commission a few moments ago took a straw vote to approve the changes as modified by staff for screening and fencing as well as outdoor lighting. The same standard is applied to nurseries for outdoor lighting. And cannabis processing facilities, there were no modifications made to staff's recommended changes, and your commission took a straw vote, I think, on the 16th to approve staff's recommendations based on the language presented, and there were no other questions today.
Megan, there was one other thing that we had a straw vote on, and that was on page 1653 on cultivation standards on location. There was a proposal by Commissioner Brown to include residences as among the sensitive uses that would be measured, the 1,000 feet and 600 feet, and that did not pass 3-2. But that should be noted. Commissioner Campbell and Commissioner Brown were in favor of that. The other three were not.
Okay. Thank you. Cannabis testing facilities, cannabis dispensaries. There was some discussion here, but otherwise minor modifications were recommended for approval. Cannabis distribution facilities, same could be said for cannabis distribution facilities. And lastly, cannabis transport. There was some discussion deliberation on this, but ultimately approved by your commission as recommended by staff through straw vote. And all other planning area standards, as well as the coastal zone planning area standards, were approved by your commission by straw vote.
Thank you.
Scott.
Did you have something?
No.
Okay. At this time, I'm going to open it for public comment. If you would like to make a comment related to the business we've had today, fill out a form and bring it to me. Come to the podium, state your name. Actually, if you fill out the form, hand it to the staff member down on the end. You can go ahead and speak first before you fill it out, and then give it to them when you're finished.
On a November 8th meeting, I brought up some suggestions. And
would you state your name, please?
I am Bruce Jones. I'm a resident of Templeton. I'm the alternate delegate on the Templeton Advisory Group. On November 8th, I talked to this group. My concerns were that we still have a lot of tension between our growers and their neighbors. And if there's things we can do to alleviate that tension, it would certainly be to everyone's advantage. And one of the suggestions that I think would help is to take and have indoor cultivations with a 300-foot setback, the same as outdoor cultivations. It, already in the law, that can be changed with a minor use permit. And I think that there are certainly situations where moving those off the property line would alleviate a lot of the tension. I do believe that much of the tension in Raleigh and around the York Mountain McAllister project had to do with seven greenhouses right along the property line, which is right on abutting the backyard of a neighbor. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak?
Thank you. Murray Powell, Templeton resident, TAG delegate, but I'm here representing as a private citizen, not representing TAG. I'm concerned with items that are not addressed in the agenda, in the proposed amendments. For example, there's no consideration for restricting public access to permitted cannabis properties. For example, vacation rentals. Sounds like public will be able to, with minors, be allowed to continue to visit on site to these properties with no obvious or apparent restrictions in the ordinances. I understand that background checks are conducted at some point in time in the process by the sheriff's office, but I see no mention of any requirements for background checks in the ordinance. There was a working group established in August of industry people who apparently have had access to the staff and in contributing to writing the amendments. The staff member over here, Rob, I don't know his last name, indicated, might have been Friday or the first meeting, that there was public notice of some sort given to those meetings, and I don't believe there is any. So I think there's a violation of public notice requirements in this situation. And then once again, on the greenhouse situation that Mr. Jones just represented, Friday there was a long conversation about 300-foot setbacks for outdoor grows, but staff ignored the discussion of the 30-foot setback for greenhouses, indoor growing structures, and the 100-foot setback of those structures from any off-site personal residence. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. If there's any other people, please come to the podium. Seeing none, I'm going to close it to public comment and bring it back to the board.
Just have one question for staff for this property out by York Mountain. That's mm-hmm. Has that been approved?
It was approved and it has since been appealed within okay. the required time. It has not been scheduled for the board, but we anticipate either January or early February.
And it was an appeal of a minor use permit. Does it go directly to the Board of Supervisors?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Okay. If there's no more business, I will entertain a motion to adopt the notices of exemption of CEQA.
I would so move that, including the modified notice that you presented to us at the first meeting. Wasn't there? Didn't you have a? Okay. We'll just do. Yes. I move approval.
I have a motion down a second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Call the roll, please.
Chairperson Harrison, is that who called the motion?
Yes, called for the motion.
No, I made Notari? The motion.
No, he made the motion.
Okay.
Second.
And then Ortiz Lay?
Was second. That's right.
Okay. So, Commissioner Notari?
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Lay?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
And Chairperson Harrison?
Yes. Now I need a motion to recommend the Board of Supervisors adopt amendments to Title 22 and the revisions by the Planning Commission.
So moved.
Have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Please call the roll.
Commissioner Moultrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz Lake?
Yes.
And Chairperson Harrison?
Yes. And now I need a motion to recommend the Board of Supervisors adopt amendments to the local coastal plan, parts 1 and 2 of the coastal zone, Land Use Element Title 23 and the revisions by the Planning Commission.
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Lake?
Yes.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
And Chairperson Harrison?
Yes.
I'd like to make one more motion, if that's possible, and that's to recommend that the Board of Supervisors consider the various items that we recommended that they discuss in the next round of amendments, which staff has made a list of. I don't want that. The purpose of the this motion is that that not be lost. There are people in the audience. We talked about that, and we suggested that those things would be dealt with in another round. So that's not a very good motion there. Let's see if I can say that better. Any suggestions from you guys on how do we do that?
Well, if it's of any assistance, I understand what the motion is that you're making, and I'm happy to read through the list that we have if you'd like.
It sounds good.
Sure.
Sure. So your motion was for Planning Commission to recommend the Board of Supervisors as well as staff consider modifications to the federal land standards as well as increased setback requirements from residences and or residential land use categories. I also have a minor note in here to discuss further manufacturing and ag, which that is part of our phase two requirements. And that was actually the only three items that were on my list. The setbacks being kind of a double suggestion, both being setbacks from residences as well as setbacks from the land use categories themselves.
Okay. I don't know about those. Those would be items that staff would take up in the next round.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, correct. Also allowing transport and processing within the commercial service land use categories. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
What about the compassionate item?
And was
for medical?
Medical. Okay. Wasn't there some other discussion about consistency with the state laws in that regard? So I just want people who participated to know that we listened to that and we're not just going to forget about it. Those things will be discussed again. No guarantee there'll be any changes, but they will be discussed again.
Mr. Chair, Rob Fitzroy, just for the record and point of clarification for our benefit, regarding the setback to residences, I believe that Commissioner Brown did make a motion to explore further the 1,000-foot setback to residences, but on a straw vote, that measure failed. But as I understand it, you do want us to continue carrying that forward as a recommendation to to the board?
No, these aren't recommendations. These are items that need further analysis. Remember what you were talking about. I don't agree with put it personally, but I think the discussion was what are the implications if we were to do that? So
understood. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Is that?
I would say yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the motion. Is there a second?
I think the clarification is necessary in this case. It's pretty complicated, so I'm going to second it.
Mm-hmm.
Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Moltari?
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell?
Yes.
Commissioner Ortiz-Lake?
Yes.
And Chairman Harrison?
Yes.
I just want to thank everybody for coming to our three hearings and enduring the discussions. We appreciate your taking the time and participating.
I need a motion to accept and the record.
I would move that we accept all
items.
items as part of the record. It's not the right language, but you know what I mean.
You're close.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? And I need a motion to adjourn.
Adjourn to the November 29th.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank all you that showed up today and the items you brought up. Thank you, staff.
Thank you.